Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're a country that pays people to die early. We spend 50% more than Western Europe does on health care and live 4 years less.
Mayor Bloomberg speaking yesterday, he also said about death that the only scenario under which, or one scenario under which he might actually run for president is if all the other candidates were dead. Well, maybe they won't literally be dead, but maybe the public will be so sick of the same flawed faces in a two-year presidential marathon that they will be effectively dead by next May, when Mike Bloomberg would have to begin filing petitions for independent or third-party ballot lines in the 50 states. We'll see. John Harwood's take in the Wall Street Journal today: Bloomberg would be a super long shot. Michael Goodwin's take in the Daily News today: some of this is personal between Bloomberg and Giuliani. So Wall Street Journal political reporter John Harwood and Daily News columnist Michael Goodwin both join me now. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Personal, Michael?
Yes, I think that Bloomberg and Rudy were never really close, although Rudy's endorsement in 2001 really put Bloomberg over the top to help him get elected. And I think for a couple of years there, they kind of danced around, and Bloomberg was careful not to step on any of Rudy's achievements and always to give Rudy credit for the crime drop and the cut in welfare, that sort of thing. But I think over time, Bloomberg has sort of emerged and resents the shadow of Rudy. And now there was a recent poll saying that most voters thought Bloomberg was a better mayor than Giuliani had been. And so I think Bloomberg is really feeling his oats now and obviously has the presidential bug.
And you mentioned some specific skirmishes over, for example, the Gracie Mansion chef cooking for Giuliani's mother. What was that about?
That was really an inexplicable cheap shot, I thought, from Bloomberg to fault Giuliani for saying that when he lived at Gracie Mansion, Giuliani had the chef prepare three dinners a week and deliver them to Giuliani's mother, who I think at the time was 92 or something like that and lived a few blocks away. Bloomberg is obviously a very wealthy man, and he gives a lot of money to charity. So even let's assume he was right about the facts. What could have been the real dollar cost? I mean, it seemed like a really kind of petty shot, and to talk about someone's mother that way. I mean, even the mafia leaves your family alone.
So, John, you have Michael Bloomberg as a super long shot based on history and the polls. I'm going to read to you in a minute from one pollster who doesn't necessarily agree with you, but why do you think?
Well, because it is very, very difficult for independent candidates to attract the allegiance of large numbers of voters. Partisan ties, as much as people talk about their disdain for the parties, they don't really act that way when they vote. The most important information that most Americans take into the voting booth is the partisan identity of the candidates, which is why no third-party candidate in 40 years since George Wallace in 1968 has won a single electoral vote. And the odds are against Bloomberg doing so this time. The discontent is there, but it's not quite the same as it was even in 1992 when Ross Perot jumped into the race. Then you had a very unpopular incumbent, President Bush, but that President Bush was running for re-election. This one's going to be gone. And we see right now that with Fred Thompson getting into the race, the partisans in the Democratic and Republican parties are generally speaking okay with their field of candidates. Neither party's collapsed, and that's what you need for a third-party guy to have a chance.
So you know the pollster John Zogby, right?
I do.
He has an op-ed in the Daily News today that says, in a national telephone poll last month, 80% said it was very important that the next president be a person who can unite the country, and 82% said the same about the need for a competent manager. Another 58% said it was very important that the next president be able to cross party lines to work with political opponents, while just 42% said it was very important that he or she reflect the values of their own party. So John Zogby's conclusion in his headline, think Mike's a total long shot, think again. What's your reaction?
I think John Zogby is a very smart guy who's dead wrong on this point. I think that most voters will end up finding some of those qualities that they aspire to see in politicians in one of the two major party nominees. We put Mike Bloomberg in our Wall Street Journal NBC poll in December. He got 10%. Not bad. That's a pretty good debut number. It suggests that he'll have an impact on the race. In that particular race, he changed the dynamic of a Hillary Clinton-John McCain matchup from a McCain victory without Bloomberg to a Hillary Clinton victory with Bloomberg. But his chances of actually getting 270 electoral votes and winning the presidency, next to nothing.
Michael Goodwin, Zogby continues. On the electoral map, a Bloomberg candidacy puts almost every state into play. Suddenly, the required winning percentage in each is reduced from 50% plus one to just 34%. So what do you think about his actual chances if he does dive in?
Well, I fundamentally agree with John. I think it's a really long shot. And I would add another element. You know, for example, the clip you played earlier, Brian, Bloomberg talking about health care. He's also talked about, the need to discuss Social Security, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Social Security is known as the third rail for a very good reason. When politicians touch it, they die. And when you look at the Social Security system today, along with Medicare and Medicaid, what you see is essentially it's going broke. And what are the solutions to that? More taxes and later retirement. Fundamentally, those are the only options possible. Now, if that's going to be Bloomberg's campaign theme, let's raise taxes and retire to later years, I don't think he's going to do very well in the election. And that is the fundamental difficulty. The difficult questions nobody wants to touch because they're unpopular. And Bloomberg, if he's going to take those positions, he's going to be unpopular.
John Harwood, Wall Street Journal, political writer. Michael Goodwin, Daily News columnist, my guest on WNYC as we talk about the possibility of a Bloomberg for president run. Here's one of my thoughts this morning. A lot of people are getting all warm and fuzzy about the idea of post-partisanship, but maybe there's no principle here at all. Maybe Bloomberg is in whatever party suits his personal ambition. He only became a Republican because he couldn't win the Democratic nomination to mayor. Maybe he's only becoming an independent because it's the most expedient route to the presidency. Michael, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's always been, to him, nonpartisan simply means whatever he thinks. If he's for something, then that's a nonpartisan solution. But in fact, he's very much a liberal Democrat. I mean, if you lined up all of his ideas and took his name off of them, you would say these are the views of a very liberal Democrat. The latest being this idea to pay children for doing well in the Regents test. I don't think you'll find any Republican in the last 50 years to even think something like that might ought to be discussed. So I think that he just lines up far to the left on virtually everything, and that's what would come out if he really ran. You would say this is a Democrat masquerading as a nonpartisan.
So, John Harwood, let me read you one more paragraph from that John Zogby article and see how much you as a political analyst agree. He writes, contrary to conventional wisdom, my polling shows he would likely take more votes from the Democrat than the Republican. Those who consider themselves part of that growing moderate political class are 38% Democrats, 25% Republicans, and 38% Independents.
I think there's a lot of merit to what John Zogby says in that paragraph. Look, but it depends on the outcome of the nomination fights. If Rudy Giuliani wins the Republican nomination, Mike Bloomberg, should he run, would be competing in exactly the same space and would probably take away some of those moderate, soft Republicans, independents who lean Republican that Giuliani would otherwise bring back to the party. If you have a highly polarizing race, if Fred Thompson runs as a right-winger, wins a Republican nomination, Hillary Clinton, very polarizing figure, wins a Democratic nomination, then you have an ideal scenario for Mike Bloomberg, and some of those moderate, soft Republican independents, people who are sort of upscale, socially liberal, economically conservative, would drift toward Democrats but for Mike Bloomberg. That's where he could really make an impact. His dream race would be Newt Gingrich against Hillary Clinton. Then you'd have a big avenue to drive right up the middle of the electorate. But here's one other problem, Brian, for Mike Bloomberg. There is a significant group of people in the country who call themselves independent. Almost 20% in our Wall Street Journal NBC poll say they're strictly independent.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is swing voters in American elections these days tend to come in two distinct kinds. They're the upscale independents, the ones that I mentioned, sort of yuppie types who are socially liberal, economically conservative. But then you've got the downscale, blue-collar voters who are socially conservative, frequent churchgoers. They're the kind of people who tend to be against abortion rights, not for them, like Mike Bloomberg, and economically populist, not for free trade agreements, for example, as Mike Bloomberg is. That downscale crowd would be a very tough constituency for him to crack. He could do well with the upscale independents, but not so much with the downscale.
John, where do you think his money would come into play if the numbers I'm hearing thrown around are roughly accurate, that he would spend $500 million, and that might be as much as the Democrat and the Republican combined? And we know from his mayoral races how minute his political targeting is. You know, he's doing all these demographics and psychographics, and he's advertising in ways that are so targeted to the individual that he's reaching through many different niche publications and new media and all kinds of things, that the combination of that skill and that amount of money behind that skill might have a real impact.
Well, it could, certainly. First of all, money will buy him universal name recognition. He knows that he can advertise enough to make sure that everybody in America knows who he is. That's a big thing in politics, to be able to get there. Hillary Clinton's there right now. None of the other Republicans in this race, other than Newt Gingrich, who's not yet formally in the race, are there. So he could get there.
And funny enough, I saw a poll that indicated that Bloomberg is amazingly well known for a mayor of New York. He's got more name recognition, for example, than Mitt Romney nationally.
Yes, but
to
it's still below 65%. So
yeah,
he's got a ways to go, but he can buy that distance. The second thing the money would do is that there are some states in this country, California is the prime example, that are so disconnected from party organization, that are so transient, that are so inattentive to day-to-day politics, that the only way to effectively get to them is on television, and he could saturate that market. So California is an obvious place. You've had a big growth in California in the number of voters who are not aligning themselves with one party or the other, even if they tend to vote consistently with one party or the other, but their party identification is so-called declined to state in the California system. That would be a prime target for him. And other big states like that, he can certainly saturate the media and be present. You know, you go too far and there's a risk of oversaturating the market, but we know that Mike Bloomberg could get his message out to the country. The question is, how big is that market at the end of the day? And as we mentioned a moment ago, depends a little bit on the contours of the race. He's got to find a few targets where he can actually break through.
Michael Goodwin,
if I could just interject briefly, you're a little behind the curve on how much he's willing to spend.
Uh-huh.
People have been telling me now it's up to $1 billion.
Whoa.
He has used that number himself.
And so what do you think that would mean?
Well, obviously he could buy name recognition, and you're absolutely right about his micro-targeting. I mean, you know, my wife and I have different names, and we get different mailings from him, according to who he thinks the names represent, what ethnic or racial group he thinks the names represent. So that data is out there for a price, and he'll pay any price. He spent $160 million to win his two mayoral races, and his opponents spent about $25 million combined. So he's way ahead. There's we've never had a candidate like him. He is, as I understand it, the richest man ever to hold elective office in the history of the United States. The $5 billion number that's usually ascribed to his net worth is, I think, far too low. It's probably closer to $20 to $25 billion when you factor in the real market value of Bloomberg LP. So we've never had a candidate like him, but yet I still think ultimately the hurdle is the Electoral College. That's the ultimate hurdle, and it's hard to see him winning any reliably Republican state to start with. So you're then effectively competing for a very much smaller slice of the electoral votes, which are essentially the Democratic states, the blue states.
So if he runs, he's much more likely to be a spoiler throwing the race to the Republican than anything else.
I'll tell you the other thing he's likely to be, Brian, he's going to be a big fat sugar daddy for the consultants who go work for his campaign. That is going to be one big payday to work.
No doubt. He might even lure some, Wall Street Journal columnists if he's willing to pay enough, right? No.
Yeah, you bet.
Michael, last question before you both go. And this is in your role as a daily news columnist who follows the local scene as well as the national scene. What do you think a Bloomberg run or even just his change to independent might have on New York?
The state, you mean in terms of how the state would turn out?
Yeah, no, not in the presidential race, just on any other local politics or policy here, maybe the 2009 mayoral election or what happens in the rest of his mayoral term, what happens to the already depressed New York Republican Party, which he's been largely funding,
yes.
Any of that.
Right. Well, I think he's going to have a huge impact, not only in the short term, but in the long term. Look, he's not going anywhere fundamentally. I don't think he's going to be president of the United States, which means that he's going to be forced out of with term limits in 2009. He's got all this money to give away. He said he wants to be a philanthropist. You know, it has been said that once you have the presidential bug, there are only two cures, death or election. So I think that even after he leaves office, he's going to be wanting to play in issues. And that money is going to be an enormous impact on what issues get funded, you know, how they get debated, the advocacy groups, which ones he buys off. He's done a lot of that already. He's bought a lot of support with advocacy groups through his contributions of his own money. So I think he's going to be a big factor beyond this election, and it's going to come through the money. That's the thing that's going to have the staying power with him.
Daily News columnist Michael Goodwin, Wall Street Journal political reporter John Harwood, thank you both very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, columnist Mike Kelly from The Record of Northern New Jersey on why Governor Corzine thinks New Jersey Transit could get overwhelmed by Mayor Bloomberg's congestion pricing scheme and why so few gay couples in the Garden State are signing up under the new civil union law. Stay with us.